عن أبي الدرداء رضي الله عنه قال سمعت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول ما من ثلاثة في قرية ولا بدو ولا تقام فيهم الصلاة إلا قد استحوذ عليهم الشيطان فعليكم بالجماعة فإنما يأكل الذئب من الغنم القاسية رواه أبو داود بإسناد حسن. حضرت أبو الدرداء رضي الله عنه narrates that I heard Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying, if there are three people in a village or desert region and the congregational salah is not established between them, then shaitan most certainly overpowers them. So what is the first part of the hadith? He's not speaking about people that are staying in a developed area. So these people are staying in some remote village or they're staying in a desert area. Bedouins would stay like that, one tent, and a few people staying there. So it's not like a populated place like how we got our towns and our cities. So it's a place where just few people are there. So this is what this is speaking about. So by default, much, much more if it is a situation where it is populated. When the situation is like this, when the place is not populated, then how much we should be careful when the place is populated. So this first part of the hadith, I heard Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying, if there are three people in a village or a desert region and the congregational salah is not established between them, so just three of them that are there and they don't establish salah between them in jama'ah, then shaitan most certainly overpowers them. Shaitan will take hold of them. Shaitan will overpower these three people that are there. They should have made jama'ah, even though they are so few people and they are so far away, but still they should have performed their salah with jama'ah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam goes on to say that if they don't perform salah with jama'ah, then, or they don't establish the salah with jama'ah, not just reading, but establishing it time to time, having the salah there, then shaitan most certainly overpowers them. You must therefore adhere to the congregation. In other words, you must adhere to the Muslim congregation, being with the Muslims, be together with the Muslims, be there for salah, etc. You must therefore adhere to the Muslim congregation, because a wolf devours the sheep that strays. A person that chooses his life to be aloof from the Muslims, aloof from deen, aloof from jama'ah, aloof from salah, then what? The example Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is giving, that a wolf devours the sheep that strays. The wolf looks for the stray sheep and it goes and attacks that sheep. That sheep that is in a whole herd, even the wolf is frightened to attack that sheep. In other words, if you are with all the people, then there's less chance that shaitan will attack you. But if you choose to be alone, some people deliberately they'll go and they'll stay far away. You see, there's a specific area. There's hardly any Muslims there. But because maybe the homes are big and the land is big and it looks as though it is a top area as far as value is concerned, but they don't look to see whether the salah or jama'ah is going to take place, whether the facilities for their children to grow up with other Muslim children, what type of schools the children will end up going to, whether where they'll go to, what will they do, all those things are not even seen. Whether the madrasa is there, facilities to send them to madrasa, nothing is considered. Just looking to see where the property is, it's got a nice swimming pool, it's got a nice garden, it's got a nice yard, you go and buy a place like that. This hadith should be kept in mind. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is telling us that if you're going to go aloof, you're going to stay away from the Muslims, you're going to stay away from getting together for salah, you're going to stay away from the gathering of salah and the gathering of the Muslims, then what will happen? You will become a lone sheep. You're all alone. And shaitan will devour you. And shaitan will catch you. Shaitan will overtake you and overpower you. And very soon what will happen is that person's thoughts will become like the thoughts of the people around him. Because now that becomes his new company. Those non-Muslims that are there, those friends that are there, the people that he meets is there. That becomes his new company. And now eventually that becomes his new deen. Without him even realizing it, he went aloof. But this is what is the end result. Yesterday we spoke about salah with jama'ah being applying or applicable to men. However, the thought may come in the mind that there's so much of reward for the men. What about the ladies? What about that reward for the ladies? That they will also lose out this reward of jama'ah. So this thought shouldn't come into the mind, because Allah Ta'ala has made it the opposite. The reward, the additional reward, the extra reward, like how the men get additional reward for performing salah with jama'ah in the masjid, the women get additional reward for performing salah at home. So Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, the wife of Hazrat Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, our mother, she says that if Rasulullah sallallahu, this was after the time of Rasulullah sallallahu, after he had passed away, she said the statement, that if Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam had seen the things introduced by the woman, he would have definitely prevented them from going to the masjid, as the woman of the Bani Israel were prevented. Initially Rasulullah sallallahu, in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he didn't prevent, Islam was new, he would learn, but he would encourage them to read Salah at home. He didn't forcefully prevent them. And at that time too, there was no fitna, there was no fasad like we have in our time. Here this is even more serious, where there's so much of fitna and fasad. So therefore, women are encouraged to read Salah at home. So anyway, this was the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, say, of Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, that if Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had seen things introduced by the woman, he would have definitely prevented them from going to the masjid, as the woman of the Bani Israel were prevented. This hadith is mentioned in Muslim Sharif. It's also another narration narrated by Ummi Humaid radiallahu ta'ala an, the wife of Abu Humaid al-Sa'idi radiallahu anhu, that she came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and said, O Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I like to perform salah with you. This was her desire. She wanted to come and perform salah with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In other words, to come and perform salah in the masjid of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. She came and she expressed her desire. He says, I would like to perform salah with you. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I know that you like to perform salah with me, but your salah in your home is better for you than your salah in your courtyard. In other words, inside your home is better than reading it outside, still within the property, but in your courtyard, but even better than the courtyard is within the home, you performing your salah. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went on to say, and your salah in your house is better for you than your salah in the masjid of your people. So the salah for you in your house is better for you than the salah in the masjid of your people. But before that, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also told her that the salah for you in your house is better than in the courtyard. In other words, the more inside the home you're going, the more better it becomes for you. So then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went on to say, and the salah in the masjid of your people is better for you than the salah in my masjid. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam issued orders that a place of salah be prepared for her in the furthest and darkest part of her home, and she used to perform salah there until she met Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In other words, that masjid, that salah, that place for her in a home, in the most inner recessed portion of the home, the most hidden portion of the home, she used to perform salah right up till the day she passed away. So she expressed her desire to read with who? Not with any imam of this world at any time, but with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this is what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had told her. So therefore, the woman should never ever feel that they are losing out. Allah Ta'ala is giving them much, much more for their being at home than coming out. So that desire and the new trend nowadays is to encourage ladies to come out. But look at what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is telling them, that your reward, your greater reward for you is in the home. And the other reason why ulama discourage women from coming out, as we know, is because of the fitna and the fasad. Today you look at what happened in the churches and other places of worship where ladies and men all mix up together. Some of the people, the youngsters, they say that we only go there to see the woman the way they are dressed. Now tell me, that takes you closer, so to speak, closer to their deity, closer to the religion, or is taking them further away to whatever, although they are on batil, but yet that now becomes the outlook. So this is what will happen if women are encouraged to come into the masajid and the youngsters, etc. A lot of sin will take place, what gunas will take place. So therefore it is the foresight of our salaf, of our pious predecessors, they brought a closure to it. We don't encourage women to come to the masajid. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself encouraged them to read salah at home, and not just at home, the inner recess of the home. May Allah Ta'ala give us all the tawfiq of making amal that brings to the closure this chapter of the virtues of performing salah with jama'ah. One is to learn it, one is to know it, and one is to practice it. The main thing, the important thing here is, after knowing it, we should make sure that we bring it into practice. So this becomes the last practice, or the final practice of ours, right up to the day we die, is that we learn the virtues of coming to the masjid, and we don't give it up till our last breath. May Allah give us all the tawfiq. of making amal. Subhanallah bihamdihi, subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika, nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun, wa salamun al mursaleen, walhamdulillah.